Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Exciting times in franchising. And before we get to those things, I want to tell everybody that Stan Friedman, my co-host, will not be joining us today. He's observing the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. So to Stan and all my franchise friends of the Jewish faith, may you and your families find peace and solace on this very holy day. You know, next week, franchising converges on Washington, D.C. for the Franchise Action Network annual meeting. Some of us old-timers remember that as the Public Affairs Conference. And that's September 29th and 30th in Washington, D.C. And as we know in franchising, there's a lot of attack going on to the franchise model, and specifically at one point the National Labor Relations Board's joint employer meeting, a ruling, I should say. And I wanted to read something that's going on that a leading senior can franchisor, Shelley Sun, fights for franchisees' rights to remain the primary decision maker. And this release says, when it comes to the recent NLRB joint employer ruling, there's a clear line drawn in the sand. On one side, those that believe the franchisor should be held liable for routine business decisions of individual franchisees, and on the other, those that believe that this type of ruling could abolish the independent business model altogether. Those that oppose the ruling, including many franchisors that are advocating on behalf of small business owners, are encouraging a reconsideration of the regulation. Shelley Sun, co-founder and CEO of Bright Star Care, a national in-home care and medical staffing franchise, is at the forefront of franchisors that would like to see legislatures reconsider the decision, urging Congress to classify franchisees not as subsidiaries of larger franchise organizations, but as the small, independent business owners they truly are. On August 27th, the NLRB released its joint employer decision that could lead to franchisors being defined as a joint employer with their franchise locations. It hasn't happened yet, but it's essential that franchisees and franchisors make our voices heard before ruling against franchising as a joint employer model is allowed to occur, said Shelley Sun. The NLRB viewpoint that has governed the successful franchise model for decades dictates that franchisors and franchisees are not, and I repeat, are not joint employers, and franchisees are solely responsible for setting the wages for employees and managing the day-to-day operation of their businesses. This should and must continue. The recent decision is not taking all of the factors into consideration if it was applied to the franchise business model, and that is the way the NLRB is signaling that it may go. NLRB overreach and new definition of joint employer applied to the franchising business model would mean that franchisees are no longer the decision makers, which makes it harder for them to grow and prevents them from ultimately hiring more employees. If the ruling takes effect, the owners of franchise locations fear that they will be considered nothing more than salespeople or subcontractors rather than actual small business owners. One small business owner that's bracing for the effect of this ruling is Matt Schreiner, who owns two Bright Star locations in Lafayette and Oakland, California. Schreiner employs over 200 people, but if the NLRB proceeds, it has signaled to name franchisors and franchisees as joint employers, he will no longer have the power to make key decisions for his business, such as for wages, benefits, and work conditions of his employees. This ruling diminishes the value of hundreds of thousands of small business owners around the country, says Schreiner. I've put my blood, sweat, tears, and money into my own business, and I'm every bit the entrepreneur that anyone else is. As small business owners, Schreiner and his fellow Bright Star Care franchisees value the stance Shelley Sun is taking on the matter. Bright Star Care franchisees invest in the system because of the support it offers, and they are seeing that firsthand from Kelly's support in her advocacy. Thoughts on Sun Bright Stars Care support can be viewed online on YouTube. It's really a very precarious time for franchising if this ruling was to stand. So you need to do your part. If you're involved in franchising, get off your butts, get on a plane, get to Washington, D.C. next week, September 29th and 30th, join the Franchise Action Network's annual meeting. Go up on Capitol Hill. Very easy to do. Go to franchise.org, look under events, look under the Franchise Action Network annual meeting. IFA representatives will help you along the way. This is something that's absolutely essential to the future of franchising. I also want to shout out to Lane Fisher and Brad Fishman and their respective teams at Fisher Zucker and Fishman Public Relations for an absolutely fantastic event last week, the Springboard event for emerging franchisors in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But just an absolute tremendous event. There was so much buzz going around, even during the networking portion of the event, of young emerging franchisors really taking a lot of information and insight and perspective home with them. And I want to point out something, with respect to what I learned at the event. Ron Feldman was a Frandetta, and Franchise America Finance was facilitating a panel discussion on franchisor finance. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said because I don't think I can remember it, but I certainly remember the spirit. And he said, you as franchisors, how could you expect lenders, to grant credit and finance your franchisees when your own balance sheet would not qualify you as a franchisee? Wow, 35 years in franchising, that's been one of the most logical and profound statements I've ever heard at an event. Hats off to Ron for saying that. It's definitely something a lot of emerging brands need to look at, and even mature brands whose balance sheets might be diminishing a little bit. You know, get the house in order before you bring on some additional franchisees. You know, I also want to thank last week's guest, Mark Liston, of president of Glass Doctor, a brand of the Dwyer Group. And we talked about sustainable franchising, that it starts with culture. And I want to thank Mark for returning as our guest last week. It was a great interview. And, of course, that leads to today's guest and today's show. You know, building upon a culture of giving, and my guest today is Brian Summers, the VP of Franchise Development at Jersey Mike's. But I'll give a little story here. And ever since he operated a single store in Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey, Jersey Mike's founder, Peter Cancro, has believed in giving back to the community. His passion for helping others has resonated throughout the Jersey Mike's system, resulting in an incredible outpouring of local giving and community support from Jersey Mike's stores across the country. And joining me today, as I said, is Brian Summers, the VP of Franchise Development, so he can share his perspective about the culture that has catapulted this brand into one of America's fastest-growing franchise brand. And Brian has unique experience in that he's literally grown up in the brand, having started working in his teens at the brand's roots, you know, the original store, actually making sandwiches. Brian, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's a real pleasure to be on the radio show. Big fan of the show.
Well, thank you, and a big supporter, and I really appreciate that. You know, Brian, we've had a lot of fun times together. We've had a lot of serious times together, and I love, everything about Jersey Mike's. I've had the pleasant opportunity and pleasure of meeting, you know, everybody on the executive team and the management team at Jersey Mike's. It's real. It's transparent. The passion is incredible. I had the honor of speaking with Peter on occasion, and you just see the passion coming through. And I know a lot of people, you know, probably listening to the show said, oh, my God, another show on culture, and when does it stop? You know, so let me ask you that bottom line question. How important, in your opinion, is culture to a franchise organization?
Well, Paul, I think it starts way back in 1975 from Jersey Mike's perspective. 1975 is when Peter Cancro, a then 17-year-old high school senior who had been working with Mike Subs at the time since he was 14 years old, that's when it actually started. That's the Jersey Mike's culture. What happened is Peter started working there in 1975, bought Mike Subs as a senior in high school. Before he had a diploma in high school, he bought this little storefront in a Jersey Shore town in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and operated the store for 10 years. So Peter Kanker, the current chief executive officer and founder of Jersey Mike Subs, was actually a single store operator for 10 years before he started franchising. And every day of those 10 years, what was so important to Peter is important today, now. And that's giving, making a difference in someone's life. And that goes from people behind the counter on the team, the crew, treating them with respect, you know, letting them know that their opinion matters. When the vendors come in, you know, it's treating them with respect. And then, of course, the community. That's where I had the pleasure of really getting to know Jersey Mike's, is when I was growing up, you know, as a six-year-old kid going into the sub shop, you know, as I would start with the great product, of course. But then when you get to be involved in the community, whether it's Little League baseball or youth soccer, or as you further learn about Jersey Mike's in your high school athletics, you know, there's not one event or one sport or one activity, whether it's the marching band or the varsity football team, that Mike Subs or Jersey Mike Subs is not involved in, you know, giving countless hours and dollars to the booster associations, whether it's hot dogs or sodas or waters, you know, just giving, not to get your sign on the outfield, but just to give, just making a difference, not for the accolades, just because it's the right thing to do. And that's really where my perspective is coming from Jersey Mike's and just being a part of this brand and how fortunate we've been to see all this growth over the years. So culture to me and to Jersey Mike Subs, it's everything, Paul.
Wow. So 10 years as a single unit operator himself and then decides to go into franchising. So you, and I know you're not that old, and not as old as some of us old-timers, but you started in the business at that original store, actually cutting cold cuts and making sandwiches. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. So when Peter recruited me in and to get involved with Jersey Mike's, that was the training. It was in the original Mike Subs, and I was trained by Peter's brother, John. And, you know, you got to learn the ropes. No matter what position you're in at Jersey Mike's, you have to understand the business from the ground up. So that's the training program at Jersey Mike's. You come into the store, you learn the business, and then you go wherever you're going to go from there.
Yeah, so, and yeah. Also others on the team have also started at that very fundamental level, correct?
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, there's probably the majority of people on the team here have worked in the operations at one point or another. Michael Manzo, who's the chief operating officer, Jersey Mike's. I mean, he ran that store. He was the manager of the original Mike Subs for years, along with John Hughes, our director of training and brand ambassador. I mean, you can count the people that are involved at Jersey Mike's, you know, whether it's at the executive level or down at the store level. I mean, this is what we do. It's in our blood. The oil and vinegar is in our blood there, Paul.
Yeah, the oil and vinegar. I mean, I could think of a number three Mike's way right now. If you guys are not fans of Jersey Mike's, go in there, look at number three, order it Mike's way, and you'll have an absolute explosion of taste. It's one of my favorites. you know, giving, and we're going to talk a little bit about giving here, but, you know, there's so much more that I've heard through the grapevine and from various people at Jersey Mike's, franchisees and corporate staff as well, about the different things that, you know, Peter does for his franchisees. And I know that extends into the corporate staff as well. Can you give us some examples of some of the things that Peter has done that go over and beyond for his franchisees?
Well, I think it just goes along, and it runs a parallel in our core values and our mission statement and our culture. You know, that this program is all about building a culture. You know, let's talk about that giving, making a difference in someone's life. That's always been the guiding principle at Jersey Mike's. You know, it just look at this past year, all right? Every year, I know that you're aware, Paul, but every year in March, we do this thing called the Month of Giving, where franchisees around the country rally and align ourselves with local charities. This year, in March of 2015, we aligned ourselves with 150 local charities, spanning from, you know, as far as the Pacific Northwest down to Southern California, all the way over to Massachusetts and down to Florida, the entire country. We raised over $3 million to those 150 local charities. $3 million. Most of that money coming in one day during our annual day of giving. So that's just one example. Another example is our Wreaths Across America effort, where, you know, just last year we raised over $300,000 for Wreaths Across America, and that's not including all of the money that we raise for community partners every time we open a store. You know, we're opening a few stores today, and one's in Florida, another one's in Cincinnati, Ohio. But what we'll do is we'll align ourselves. Our franchisees will choose a charity, a local charity that means something that the community can touch, something that means something to our franchisees. We'll align ourselves with that charity. And every free sub that goes out that, you know, opening week, you know, we raise money for the local community partners. So in just 2014 alone, we raised over $310,000 for our local community partners. That's just who we are and what we do. And that doesn't stem from, you know, it stems from Peter Cancro, our founder and chief executive officer. It bleeds through the corporate ranks. It's what we look for in a franchise candidate when we select new franchisees around the country. And it trickles down to every single crew member across the country. It's a really special culture, and it's based on giving.
Yeah, that's remarkable. And of course, the Day of Giving happens every year in March, but of course, efforts are also there throughout the year, and especially when the new store opens up. You know, culture is fine, and obviously, or should I say, you know, giving is fine, and certainly our hats off to all those efforts. But without strong unit economics, you know, none of that would be possible, because certainly the franchisees would not be able to, you know, participate if their unit economics weren't right. So what specifically does, you know, Jersey Mike's look at to consistently improve upon the unit economics of its franchisees? Because I know that's been kind of a shift over the last few years and this big wave of growth. And obviously this big wave of growth is riding the wave of very strong franchisee validation, which of course at the root of that are strong economics. So what has changed? What has really helped this catapult taking the Jersey Mike's to, you know, one of the fastest growing brands in America?
Has everything to do with our leadership and our franchisees. I mean, really, it has everything to do with Peter's vision that he's articulated to his staff and to the leadership, and then our franchisees that are executing on a daily basis. Yeah, we've been very fortunate to bring in the right people at the right time. We're very selective with who we bring into the system, and we're very selective with the real estate that we take down. Now, being selective, it's not just about whether they have a large bank account or whether they have restaurant experience or experience in operations. You know, everything that we're talking about today, about culture and Jersey Mike's culture of giving, that has to be part of their DNA. You know, that giving component is just as important to us as we look to bring in new franchisees to the system as their operational experience or their capital that they're bringing to the table. And because so much of what we do as a company is centered around giving back to the communities, giving back to those, you know, the local charities, Reeves Across America. I mean, it's just a huge part of our brand that it's important to look for those type of things on the front end. You know, and at the end of the day, our development team, you know, they're looking to protect the brand, but they're also looking to protect each and every one of our franchisees' investments. You know, they're putting in $300,000 per store. And, you know, it's very important, and it bleeds through from Peter all the way down to the people selling the franchises.
So, and obviously that starts, you know, at the top, longevity with the brand, as yourself and Michael Manns and others have grown up through the brand. What are some of the things that employees of Jersey Mike's Corporate can expect? So in other words, if somebody says to you, you know, I applied for a job with Jersey Mike's Corporate, Brian, you know, and I'm really excited about it, what can I expect? What does life within the four walls of Jersey Mike's Corporate look like?
Well, I think we separate ourselves a lot on that unit level, whether it's in the office or at the store level. I think we separate ourselves because everybody, you know, we don't look as going to work. I mean, you don't have to work a day in your life if you love what you do. And it doesn't matter if you're wearing an apron, slicing the sandwiches, or pulling out the laptop and looking for the right real estate. You know, we all love what we do, and you know, how could you not? You have great franchisees. You know, they're doing the right thing in the store. They're giving back to the community, and we happen to be growing real fast. And by the way, we also serve the best sandwich on the planet.
So. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. Like I said, number three, Mike's all the way. Definitely my favorite. So, you know, what's interesting in this is that, you know, Peter had Mike subs for 10 years as a single unit operator, could have easily, you know, changed the name to, you know, Peter subs, and probably would not have lost much at that single unit. And then, of course, launched into franchising as, you know, Jersey Pete subs. But I think that also lends to the type of individual that he is. You know, he believes in loyalty and commitment to the brand. And I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that was probably part of his thought process in changing it from Mike subs to Jersey Mike subs and entering the world of franchising. Am I spot on there?
I think you're pretty good there, Paul. You know, Jersey has always been known for the sub sandwiches. I think you know, it's important to incorporate the Jersey portion of the name. You know, Jersey Mike subs, and you know Philadelphia has their cheesesteaks, Idaho has their potatoes. You know, Jersey
right.
has their Jersey Mike subs.
So take me back a few years, Brian. Hurricane Sandy hits the East Coast with some very catastrophic situations, New Jersey and obviously into New York. What was it like from Jersey Mike's perspective when that happened?
Wow, yeah. So, wow, Superstorm Sandy, I think it affected everyone from people that lived here in Ocean and Monmouth County along the Jersey Shore, to people that have been franchisees of ours for years in California. It was just one of those events that really, that really stayed with you. When the storm hit, it was devastating to the area. I'm sure everyone saw the images on television, on the internet, of the the devastation. I remember, most areas along the shore, we lost power for, 2 weeks. A lot of time people forget the week after the Sandy hit, there was a blizzard that happened right afterwards. So it was a superstorm and a huge snowstorm. So all those people without power, were left to weather the conditions. But what we did as a company, we rallied our franchisees, rallied together. Most of them operating in the area on generators. They just said, let's just make sandwiches and give them to our first responders. And, with everything the way it did, half of the barrier island was closed off to nothing but National Guard and first responders. So that first week, I just remember there was just so many people just willing to give their time and just make a difference. And our franchisees were just incredible, the way they rallied around their first responders and anybody that was willing to help and just provided sandwiches to so many people that were helping the whole situation down here. So, as you know, Sandy was, it affected a lot of people. And, the way our franchisees handled that disaster was it was inspirational.
Well, I think that just lends to, strong leadership and rallying the forces, so to speak. And then, of course, everybody doing their part. And it was quite a tragedy, but recovered well. I'll never forget the images of, the various boardwalks and rides in the middle of the water that once stood so tall on the boardwalk. Yeah, and all the various, homes, especially right along the water. Very much a tragedy, and certainly I want to thank, because I'm from the northeast area, from Staten Island, not far from Jersey, thank Jersey Mike's and everybody there for all that they've done and continue to do in that community, because having just been back up to Staten Island even as recently as a year ago, I still saw some of the devastation and people still recovering from that, years later. So anybody that didn't go through it or weren't aware of it firsthand could never really understand what that type of, back-to-back, weather conditions the way they were. Just horrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. We are live on Franchise Today. My guest is Brian Summers, the VP of Franchise Development from Jersey Mike's, and we're talking about building upon a culture of giving. Brian, a lot of franchise organizations out there, and the ones that leave the others in the dust are the ones that definitely take the lead in so many different fronts. We've already talked about giving. We've talked about how aligning with, various local organizations, charities, so to speak, helps in the entire process. It gets the franchisees feeling good about it. It certainly helps in the validation process when new franchisees or franchise candidates, better said, are interested in exploring, Jersey Mike's. But certainly as an organization, you have to keep up with the times. And, of course, one of the biggest factors is technology. How has Jersey Mike's introduced and built upon technology to this day and moving forward into the future?
Yeah, it's a huge hot button right now. Everybody is changing with the times, and I feel it's a great honor to see what we've done internally in terms of technology. Our chief information Officer, Chief Technology Officer Scott Scheer, was just recognized by Hospitality Technology on the Innovative on Innovation Award, as well as our training team was also awarded Innovative Innovation Training Awards incorporating technology with operations. So if you haven't already, and this goes out to all your listeners, Paul, download the Jersey Mike's app. It's an integrated loyalty program. It has nutritional facts, it has your loyalty program all stored in on the app, it has a geo-targeted store locator that's built into the app. So check it out. Download the app. You can order online your favorite sandwich, whether it's a number 13 Mike's Way or 99% fat-free turkey. It's also hormone-free, or maybe our certified Angus roast beef, which is trimmed, hide, and cooked right in the store.
Wow. So that's, certainly new franchisees coming on board, see this investment made in technology, and it certainly helps. It's also my understanding that some of your target audience from a franchise development standpoint are, successful restaurant or food service operators, and I know that certainly they're looking at the technology features. What do you think about, let me rephrase this. I know Jersey Mike's has worked with a lot of, experienced food service operators. How important is it to a growing brand to really focus on those type of individuals to make up a cornerstone of the brand? I mean, is that the case?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that finding the right franchisee is the biggest part, making sure that it's the right fit for your brand. They not only need the restaurant experience, but the capital obviously is important, but going back to what I said earlier, it's got to be the right fit, the culture of giving. If that's not a part of our franchisee's DNA, then it's not going to work. Restaurant experience, as we started to really launch our growth, it was a huge part of our strategy. Some folks that understood the restaurant business, that knew what it was like to run food costs, labor costs, to be in the food business. That was very important. And then especially those that had franchising experience. This is not a mom and pop deli. It certainly may feel that way to our consumers, but there are systems that that we need to follow. So that's why you get involved in franchising. It takes the guesswork out of running a small business. So that franchising experience also is a huge factor of the way we were able to grow so in the way that we did over the last several years.
So how has that helped some of the early stage franchisees that, grew through their first wave and now through this second wave? How did bringing on some of these experienced food service operators as franchisees help them?
Yeah, so bringing on a stable of experienced restaurant owners or food service operators not just help with the brand nationwide, but just look in your local areas. And you have that leadership of an area director that had that specific food service operations experience, they're able to mentor and bring along, coach, and bring people along that didn't necessarily have that food service operations experience. And then the scale. Once they had that food service operations experience, it's just about growing that model. I mean, they have the model down and just it's about scaling and growing. That the experience of growth usually is in conjunction with the food service operations background.
And earlier you mentioned when we were talking deep about culture, and you mentioned about you know, everybody respecting everybody, everybody taking care of everybody. And you mentioned vendors. And too often than not, even with organizations that have a strong right fit culture, too many times I see the vendor, the supplier, kind of still on the outside looking in. And I know Jersey Mike's is very, very particular about it, especially its fresh products, like tomatoes and lettuce and what have you. How important has it been in furthering the relationships with the vendors of having this type of culture that they are part of just as any other stakeholder would be?
Well, I think it comes down to servant leadership. It's not about, you know, who's got the best business deal. It's about, you know, doing the right thing and be servant leaders, you know, giving to your, not just your customers and your consumers, but, you know, just be doing the right thing overall. And too many times, you're absolutely right. People, you know, the vendors get kind of, you know, thrown off to the side and neglected a little bit. And, you know, we do it from a servant leadership perspective where, you know, we want to take care of our you know, the folks that are in our lives, whether it's the folks that are dropping off the food order or the produce, and, you know. And yeah, it's good for business too. You know, we know that we're getting the best produce out there. You know, that's a huge part of our brand. You know, that we have the most, you know, the ripest tomatoes and the best lettuce and you know, the phenomenal onions that we use, and we're fanatical about our produce. You know, and having that relationship with our vendors certainly doesn't hurt, because you know, if there's an issue with produce, you know we're getting the best that's in the house.
Well, it's about earning that right too. I mean, you're not expecting it without, you know, giving them that high level of respect that we should all be giving each other. So it's kind of just a everybody knows what is expected, and it's not, you know, demanded. It's just, you know, a good relationship, and I think that's important. You know, I've been to several of the Jersey Mike's grand openings, especially as Jersey Mike's continues to develop here in the greater Houston area. And I love attending them, not just because of the sandwiches, but, you know, watching the glimmer, the gleam in the franchisees' eyes, the area developers' eyes that's there right behind the counter working, you know, shoulder to shoulder with them. Seeing some of the vendors coming in, seeing, you know, friends and family coming in, and as you said, raising money during that initial stage for, you know, local charities that they've aligned themselves with. But one thing that I noticed seems to be, and I don't know if this is happening across the country, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I know here in the Houston market seems to be a lot of younger franchisees than one might expect. And later on, as we wrap up Franchise Today, I'll be talking about, you know, next gen and new generation in franchising. And I already see Jennifer Cashel tweeting online about today's Franchise Today show. And I appreciate that, Jennifer. We'll talk a little bit about that. But that goes right in line with this wave of younger franchisees. Is this something that's happening across the country with Jersey Mike's?
Yeah, you know, I just think it's it goes back to the unit level. It's you're supporting the community that supports you. You know, in return, we get these high energy team members that are passionate about supporting our local communities, and in turn, you know, you go to the Jersey Mike's 3-4 times a week for lunch, and hey, how do we get involved with this? You know, you see the lines, you see, you know, the way we treat people, how much fun the crew is having, and you know, how do you get involved? And you know what? These high-energy people translate to be high-energy franchisees and that are passionate about giving back to the community, that don't mind to, you know, spend 400 hours of training before you open your store. I think it's not a strategy, but it's a result of everything that we're doing.
Are Jersey Mike's franchisees typically actively involved in the day-to-day operation of their stores?
You know what? Yes. I think that once you speak with the multi-unit owners, that they're involved as well. I mean, I think it's important that to distinguish the single unit operator who is, you know, involved in the store operations every day, than the multi-unit owner who has key operators that are in the store every day. I mean, most of our operators that you see managing the restaurants, they're a percentage owner, you know, where they're incentivized to be the face of the store.
That's very interesting, and I kind of asked that as a loaded question, and it was something I was very intrigued by, because every time I go into a small franchise type business, whether it be a Jersey Mike's or some of the competition of Jersey Mike's or any other type of, especially food service operations, I always ask, you know, who's the franchisee? Is he here? I always try to, you know, introduce myself. And I can't remember a time that I've been in a Jersey Mike's. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the air, Brian, where I've asked about the franchisee, where the franchisee wasn't either there, or maybe the son was, or the husband was, or whatever the case might be. It was always the operator, the franchisee on the premises. And obviously you can tell that. And I'm certainly not going to bash the competition, so I won't name them. But, you know, some of the other ones, and I can think of one in particular where I've asked about, you know, the franchising, and please don't condemn me for, you know, going to the competition, Brian, because Jersey Mike's isn't everywhere yet. But when I've asked, more times than not, the franchisee is not there. And I actually hear from the person behind the counter, oh, yeah, I really never see them. You know, I might see him once a week or something like that. And, you know, you could kind of just tell. You know, in those locations, there's really not a high energy level. I have to say that at Jersey Mike's, always a high energy level. I'm not in the store in the Jersey Mike's listening to, you know, something that might be on the radio that might be off color, as I've heard in other businesses, franchise and non-businesses. In Jersey Mike's, it's always easy listening that I think transcends to the entire audience there. It's always clean. There's always somebody walking around picking it up. And I think that's all part of the culture.
Absolutely.
As we wind down with this segment of Franchise Today, Brian, I certainly appreciated you taking the time out of what could only be described as a very busy day at Jersey Mike's, and also raising a young family, recent birth of twins. Congrats to you and your wife. Are there any parting words you'd like to leave with our listening audience today?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I can't thank you enough, Paul, for featuring Jersey Mike's on the radio show. You continue doing a great job. I'd like to encourage all your listeners to check out your local Jersey Mike's, to try out our new Chicken Club sub. It's incredible. It is absolutely delicious. And then also you mentioned the International Franchise Association having their Franchise Action Network meetings next week. Also, in conjunction with the Franchise Action Network meetings, you also have the first Franchisee Growth Conference, September 28th and 29th, down in Washington, D.C. as well.
Excellent.
So I know that there's a few Jersey Mike's folks that are going to be headed down there as well, including one of our multi-unit franchisees in the Washington, D.C. market, Dan Malamas, who will be talking to the franchisee audience about how to successfully grow your infrastructure using not just the financial capital, but the people capital as well. So please check us out, then.
Right. Brian, again, thank you. Say hello to Peter and Mike the rest of the team at Jersey Mike's, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Paul. Really appreciate the time.
You're welcome. And as I mentioned, next gen, a new generation in franchising, Aziz Hashim, the CEO of NRD Holdings and incoming IFA chairman of 2016, said, there's a huge talent pool of young entrepreneurs that we need to engage to bring new ideas and new thinking into our industry. And he couldn't be more spot on. And I really appreciate the fact that Jennifer Cashel has really taken charge of next gen, a new generation in franchising. We had the inaugural push last year for a contest, the global competition. This year it's occurring again. And it's exposing millions to the franchise business model as they'd never seen it before. Through these efforts, entrepreneurs ages 21 to 35 in business for 1 to 5 years with companies that have the potential to scale through franchising are encouraged to apply for the 2016 event. And the applications can be found online at nextgenfranchising.org. And, you know, the International Franchise Association Education Foundation, you know, wants to know about these entrepreneurs. So, you know, if you know of one, please get this information to them. We'll be talking about it regularly. We'll be promoting it on the Franchise Today Facebook page. And, of course, I'll be doing that myself on my own personal pages. But, you know, if their company has the potential to really grow big, they could be eligible to win the Next Gen in Franchising Global Competition. And that'll get them access to some of the biggest brands, entrepreneurs, mentors, most exclusive networking, and best practices in the industry. The prizes are tremendous, too, valued at over $5,700. It's a trip to the annual IFA convention, which will be in San Antonio in February 2016. They'll attend the Next Gen Summit and 2 intensive days of learning and coaching, a 1-year business accelerator program led by CEOs of top franchise brands, an opportunity to participate. I'm so excited. These words are taking my breath away. I wish this was around when I was 21 to 35 years old. So it gives an opportunity to participate in a Shark Tank competition for funding, media, and extensive industry-wide exposure. Winners will have the opportunity to interact with the most iconic brand owners and leaders of the franchise industry. And from there, just about anything can happen. And, you know, to that end, we have an individual that was one of the grand prize winners of the very first Next Gen in Franchising competition right here in the United States with us. And I'm going to read you, his name is Alexander Wazel, and I'm going to read just a little bit on what he's doing right now on what's called the Exploration Tour, which actually started back in New York on September 12th. And will end on October 3rd when he heads back to Italy. And Alex says, I'm Italian. I just graduated with a law degree from the University of Warwick in the UK and applied to NextGen with my business idea, Panarium, which is Latin for breadbasket. As every day, up to a quarter of the daily production of bread in bakeries across Europe is wasted, Alex's goal is to tackle food waste, disposal costs for bakeries, and the rising cost of staple goods by proposing a unique and practical solution to produce healthy and high-quality snacks for local bars and restaurants. Alex goes on to say, looking back, I experienced the IFA convention as an intensive crash course on franchising, the fantastic opportunities it can open up, but also the challenges a naive college student like me might overlook. Not only the down-to-earth, earthness, openness, and passion I witnessed left a truly lasting impression on me, the exposure to the life lessons, personal insights, and opinions of some of the leading professionals in the industry was second to none. As an ambassador for the Next Gen program, my franchise Exploration Tour will allow me to share my experiences and insights with many passionate youth around the world. Therefore, as Alex has been doing, he's documenting the trip with a regular blog and social media posts, and he's looking forward to meeting people throughout his tour. As I said, he started in New York. He was up in the New England states. I know he visited Subway headquarters and mentioned and got to experience some things there. Right now, he's in Waco with last week's Franchise Today guest, Mark Liston, and his wife, Mary Kay Liston, and the Dwyer Group up in Waco. Tonight, he'll be driving into Houston to fly out tomorrow, where I will have the distinct honor and pleasure of meeting him in the morning. We'll spend about 3 or 4 hours together, and then I'll drop him off on the at the airport. And then he'll be heading to California, I'm sure, to meet with Jennifer. And then, according to his schedule, next week he'll be in Washington, D.C. at the events Brian and I were just talking about. And then on October 3rd, back home to Italy. And it's really, this is a fantastic program. Again, go to nextgenfranchising.org for more information. But, you know, one of the most important things is tell entrepreneurs about this, people that you might know in other countries. Get the word out. Again, I'll give the criteria. It's exposing millions to the franchise model. Entrepreneurs aged 21 to 35 years old, in business for 1 to 5 years with companies that have potential to scale through franchising, are the ones that are really encouraged to apply. And the contest application, again, can be found at nextgenfranchising.org. Jennifer, great job on NextGen. I look forward to having you as a guest on Franchise Today in the near future, because I would love to take a deeper dive into this fantastic event. Again, I want to thank last week's guest, Mark Liston, for being our guest on the show in our first show back, where it wasn't just Stan and I talking to each other as we enter our 7th year on the air. Sustainable franchising, it starts with culture, can be listened to on demand on iTunes, as well as Brian Summers' guest appearance today. As soon as we finish on the show today, it will also be available on iTunes. And I was really excited as we were getting ready to relaunch Franchise Today, looking at some of the numbers. Our last year in, basically where we were on hiatus, we were still getting, you know, thousands of people listening every month on demand. And to date, a total is 164,000 on-demand listens, which is just a tremendous amount of respect given for the job that we try to do to the best of our ability week in and week out. Well, next week, we're going to continue talking about culture in franchising with Josh Wall, who will be my guest, or be our guest. Stan will be back as he'll be live from Washington, D.C. VP of Franchise Development at Christian Brothers Automotive. I had the honor of being at Christian Brothers Automotive as they sponsored the recent Women's Franchise Network event a couple of weeks ago. It's a remarkable new facility. And you're going to talk about culture. I just can't wait to have Josh on the air. And that'll be the same time next Wednesday. And that'll be September 30th at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time. Again, I want to thank Brian Summers for being my guest today. Again, to all of our franchise friends of the Jewish faith, I wish you a very peaceful holiday today, holy day, actually, and extend that to your family and your friends as well. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.